He is Lord. Do y'all believe that this morning, that he is Lord? Come on now. We're outside, right? This is like very few opportunities where we can use our outside voices. You remember that? Yeah. So let's try that again. He is Lord, right? Praise God. We give thanks to the Lord, for he is good and his love endures forever. Can you believe this is Thanksgiving week? How crazy is that? When did that happen? It felt like it would never get here because of all the things that are happening in our community and our world. But here we are. Life continues on. Amen. Who was that? Thank you, April. I might have to have you come up here and preach. There are text messages in the Gospel of Matthew this morning. I invite you to think about how a few scriptures, just a few, express our gratitude and our gratefulness toward God. Just a few. 2 Corinthians 4:15. All these things are for your benefit. As grace increases to benefit more and more people, it will cause gratitude, gratefulness, thanksgiving to increase, which results in God's glory. 1 Thessalonians 5:18 says, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. And Lamentations 3:23-24 says, because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed, for his compassion never fails. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. When we look to God from where our help comes from, we have many reasons to be thankful. Today represents the final day in our Christian calendar as we prepare for the birth of Jesus Christ. This calendar is an ebb and a flow for our faith community. It is a pilgrimage of sorts through the biblical text that invites us year after year through the grace of God to follow Jesus Christ, to follow Christ the King. We also have a similar ebb and flow throughout our lives. Think of your yearly wellness check. Your yearly doctor visits. Yes, I know some of you hem and haw about going to the doctor, but it is necessary in order to realign your daily habits or receive necessary treatment in order to live a longer life and to be a healthier and better you. October and November tend to be my month of wellness checks. So in my mind, this passage comes at the perfect time. By the time all my results come in and after all the good holiday eating, I'll be ready to implement my New Year resolution. Y'all know what I mean? You do. This text message speaks to you and me this morning. And from an aerial view, it also speaks to those who are tuning in, who have no relationship with Jesus Christ, but they will know you and me. They will know us by our love. There is a story about a wise woman who was traveling in the mountains and found a precious stone in a stream. Have you heard this one? No? Okay, good. The next day, she met another traveler who was hungry, and the wise woman opened her bag to share her food. The hungry traveler saw the precious stone and asked the woman to give it to him. She did so without hesitation. The traveler left, rejoicing in his good fortune. He knew the stone was worth enough to give him security for the rest of his life. But a few days later, he came back to return the stone to this wise woman. "I've been thinking," he said. "I know how valuable this stone is, but I give it back to you in the hopes that you can give me something even more precious." So he hands her the stone and he says, "Give me what you have, which enabled you to give me that stone." The unknown author of this story gives us a powerful image of what Christ the King has done for us. Talk about a reason to be thankful, a reason to be grateful, a reason to be filled with gratitude. God gifted love to each of us, and when in return, even in a society that is polarized, that is in disagreement, that in times commits atrocious acts, that says downright soul-crushing things to children, to youth, to the young, to the old, to the ethnic groups, God gifted us and offers us this love and grace that we in return give to others like a precious stone. Because Christ is showing us a new way. If I'm honest in this moment, I have to admit all of Matthew 25, all of the verses, not just what I've read, has me a bit uncomfortable. Just consider the parable of the 10 virgins in the simplest ways. It tells us to keep our lamp burning, to keep watch because Christ is returning. The same with the parable of the talents, the gifts, the money, the time, the effort. Its variations of interpretations tells us don't waste them. Don't keep them to yourself. Take a risk, share them with others, and watch them grow. And then Matthew chapter 25 ends with this apocalyptic drama, this end time message that sets us up to understand the remainder of the text. Matthew starts off with verse 31, which is all about God. He says, "When the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, then he will sit on the throne of his glory." To hold on to this first verse sets up the foundation for the remainder of the text. This one God, God the Father, God the Mother, God of the Bible, the God who created us and is with us through uncertainty and ambiguity in our lives, the God of mercy, the God of love, the God of grace, the God of Jesus Christ is also the God of the least of these. This verse mirrors the drama in Daniel and Revelation. This verse brings back memories of the Shekinah glory around the face of Moses when he visited with God. This throne of glory is unimaginable in our finite minds. But saints, as Jesus is talking to the disciples, he is also talking to us. He is telling them and reminding us what is to come, as well as giving us instruction on how to love. I don't know about you, but I'm not seeing a lot of love these days. I see more lists of complaints, rumors of complaints, emails of complaints, phone calls of complaints, in-person complaints, and if you turn on the news, you really don't see much love there. I don't know if you know this, but in the Chinese language, the word crisis is written using two symbols. A symbol that means danger and a symbol that means opportunity. Danger and opportunity meaning crisis. Maybe you find yourself in a crisis or, truth be told, just complaining. Yet even in complaining, there is opportunity. So what do you think? On this day, this opportunity is that presents itself to us. What do you think the opportunity that we have in front of us happens to be? To love. I said to a New York clergy colleague friend of mine, if love doesn't transform, nothing in this life will. I understand it's hard to love at times, agreed? Yes. But when we do see love, it stands out like a light in the world. Because with God, who is love, all things are possible. I know I say this often. We know the biblical stories, and even if you do not, you have an understanding of terms like grace and love, service, thanksgiving, thankfulness, and forgiveness. And even when you have no relationship to Christ at all, there are foundations of our faith. These are the foundations of our faith, and saints, they are not mentioned in this passage at all. This passage is less about the work that we as the church have to do, or general humanitarianism, or even socialism, as we have heard repeatedly throughout the year. This passage, this final discourse in Matthew before Jesus heads to the cross, this text on this final Sunday in our Christian calendar year before we head into Advent, this text message validates the ethic of love and mercy. In essence, it is a wellness check. How well are you doing in loving God's people? At this time in Palestine, the shepherds routinely had mixed flocks of sheep and goats. They're actually part of the same family, I learned as I was studying. At night, the shepherd would separate the sheep from the goats. And history tells us the sheep were allowed to graze in the open air, and the goats had to be protected from the cold. Sheep had more commercial value. Their wool was of better quality. So imagine this image of God as the good shepherd, as the Son of Man sitting on a throne, separating the sheep, the ones who are blessed, placed on the right hand, meaning royalty, while the goats went to the left. This apocalyptic drama comes to us as an opportunity, as an invitation to create an atmosphere of hope and thanksgiving. The king speaks and says, "Come, you that are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger and you welcomed me. I was naked and you gave me clothing. I was sick, you took care of me. I was in prison and you visited me." And then we always ask, when did we do this, Lord? And that is when the king says, when you do it to the least of these, you do it to me. It is easy to read this passage and miss the gospel. Matthew lifts up the importance of what we do with our lives, how we spend our time, how we spend our money, how we actively love. And this passage provides an image of the spiritual health in our life. It isn't about busy work or working in order to sit on the right hand of God. This is all about love. Love that focuses on others. Love that provides care. Love that visits the forgotten. Looking within ourselves and the testimony of our church as we serve and love on the least of these, which is not them, but all of us. Beautiful people of God, we are all the least of these. And at times, we are also the sheep and the goats. Did y'all hear me? The sheep and the goats. This passage calls us to do this diagnostic, this spiritual wellness check, a blood pressure check, a heart check on how freely we give love. I don't particularly care for my yearly wellness checks because in many cases it requires me to recalibrate my life. This passage is inviting us as goats and as sheep, for the goats to become sheep and as sheep to live with the goats, so they too are invited to sit at the right hand of God the Father. Today's gospel is an invitation to do a spiritual wellness check, not just as individuals, but we are being challenged as the church, being challenged as to what and who will we be in this deep moment of crisis. Who are we really going to be? What are we going to stand for? What will our testimony be as the church in the broadest sense, the church in the world? You know, sometimes the world seems so big that it cannot be changed. But our lives have more meaning and value and impact than we could ever imagine. This is our wellness check. My hope for today is that we will share the good news every day of the week. My hope for today is that we can learn to love each other and every person we meet without condition and with the same radical love that God has already shown us. My hope is that we can be the church where people will say, I was thirsty and they gave me something to drink. I was hungry and they gave me something to eat. I was homeless and they helped me find housing. I needed clothing and they clothed me. I was sick and they visited me and took care of me. I was in jail and they didn't forget about me. That our church, and again, I'm saying this in the broadest sense, that our church could be a family, that could be a home for those who have no home, that our doors will always be open. For those who need healing, they will find it amongst us. For those needing to be affirmed, they will find it sitting next to us because of God's unwavering love through us. We are the moral and ethical compass for our community and the world. And how we take care of each other and how we look out for one another, how we see with God's eyes. How we welcome all in love. This passage tells us that God is inviting us and reminding us of who we are called to be through love, through grace, through community, through faith. Through every person that we see with God's eyes and know that God is looking back at us through them. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. And that for who shall ever perish. Think about this. We all have an opportunity to have everlasting life. We are in the midst of a crisis. The pandemic, the politics, the church, the denomination, and even our own personal crisis. But I want to tell you in this space, on the last day of our Christian calendar, during the week of Thanksgiving on Christ the King Sunday, that God is up to something. God has always been up to something. And we are called in this moment to focus on God, prepare the way for the Lord, to love one another, to feed those who need food, to clothe those who need clothing, to visit those in the prison, and to be with one another. God is up to something. This is an invitation as we move into Advent and celebrating Jesus Christ, to celebrate the God who is with us today, yesterday, and forevermore. God is up to something. And may the one who sees about you, who sees about us, who sees the world, loves us so much that we feel it in the depths of our souls and we go out and love others. The world cannot transform without the love of Jesus Christ. And this is the moment where we remember that love. It's not about whether or not we're going to be sheep or about whether or not we're going to be goats. Because in all honesty, we are both. But God's loving grace and God's patience leads us in a way where we are heading toward everlasting life. May the God who created this earth, who created you, who shines upon us in this moment, show love so deeply that we show it to others. Amen.